It's 1950, and a 12-year-old boy is standing with others in his school quadrangle on a cold and bleak November morning. It is 11 o'clock in the morning, and high up on the school tower, a bugler is playing the last post. A solemn silence falls, and for 2 minutes there is not a sound. What is that 12-year-old boy thinking? How did he fill those 2 minutes of remembrance? I'll tell you. He thinks, "It's flipping cold out here. Why couldn't we have had the service in the chapel? In any case, isn't it about time they stopped having Remembrance Sunday? After all, it's 5 years since the war ended. 5 years! All this gloom and doom about those who died in the war. To tell the truth, I rather enjoyed the war, especially the bombing raids. It was fun being woken up in the middle of the night and being rushed down to the cellar. Often Mum would brew up a cup of tea and a biscuit, and we could listen to the guns going. That was exciting. I've still got a collection of shrapnel I collected in the street in the days afterwards. I didn't much like the doodle bugs, though. All that chug, chug, chug sound. And then when it cut out and came down, there was a big crash. One came down in the high street and hit the Odeon cinema. A pity that. We used to go there. D-Day was great, though. All those hundreds of planes flying over. Yes, we won the war, didn't we? Dad came home all right, and so did Uncle Hugh and Uncle Winston. So let's get on with life. What's the point of standing here getting your toes frozen? I mean, what good does it do anybody? Nobody, nothing. And this week I had to spend threepence of my pocket money on a poppy. 3 pence, and I only got get a shilling. And then I went and lost the poppy yesterday. Oh, good. The bugler's getting ready to play again. He must be really frozen up there. And then reveille sounds. Well, that was then. This is now. Things change. People change. What that 12-year-old boy, whoever he was, did not remember or did not know or did not realise was just how great a peril the nation had been in. And what a great deliverance had been achieved, and at what a cost in lives, some of them lives that were only a few years older than his own. The writer of Psalm 70 that we've just heard knew exactly what great peril he was in. His cry to God for help is heartfelt. He knew he was utterly vulnerable. And he was in despair. His enemies were out to kill him, and he didn't have anything to stop them. Oh God, come and save me. Hasten to help me, is how he begins his lament. And he ends it as he began. I am poor and needy, he cries. Oh God, hasten to my aid. Oh Lord, make no delay. How many victims of war on all sides will have echoed those sentiments? Well, this year marks the 75th anniversary of the ending of World War II. There have been one or two excellent programmes on television of a what-if variety. What if Churchill had not become Prime Minister and Britain under another leader had sued for an Ig Nobel Peace? It had certainly been on the cards at one time. Or what if the Battle of Britain had been lost and there had been a successful invasion of our homeland with only the Dad's army to prevent it? And the whole of Europe would have fallen under the Nazi jackboot. That what if was a very real possibility, and that needs to be the first part of our remembering. Like many other people, I've been to World War II military cemeteries in Normandy and to World War I cemeteries at Ypres in Belgium, where my father served. In both places, one cannot help but be horrified at the huge number of graves there are, the white gravestones standing in military precision in their tens of thousands, a silent tribute to the sacrifice of so many lives, so many young lives, and a testimony to the horrors of war. A scrawled note on a tree at the entrance to one cemetery said it all to me. It said, "See how many there are. See how young they were." And that needs to be the second part of our remembering. And what should be the third part of our remembering? The third element to a proper observance of Remembrance Sunday is a positive remembering, and in the light of that remembering, a carefully thought through commitment to peace and justice in the future. You'll remember that in today's gospel there were five wise and five foolish young ladies. The five of them who got into trouble did so because of their lack of forethought. They simply just didn't anticipate the likelihood of delay. Yet there must have been other times in their young lives when there had been unexpected delays. They just hadn't learned from them. Is that not sometimes true of us? Times when we've said, "Oh, if only I'd thought to bring something," or, "Oh, if only I'd thought to do something, then I wouldn't be in this pickle." That's certainly true of me. But what is true of individuals is also true of nations. Historians tell us how the nations of Europe simply drifted into World War I. Historians tell us how we drifted into World War II by a feeble policy of appeasement. Did we not also drift into the Falklands conflict because of a lack of forethought? The thing is, God has given us humans the capacity to remember. And what a great gift it is. Where would we be without it? How sad it is when dementia robs previously intelligent people of their memory. Yes, memory is a very great gift, but it comes with the obligation to remember well, to remember fully, to remember and learn from the lessons of the past and to apply them intelligently today. In this, we all have our part to play. Let us remember the past in a way that better equips us for the future. God bless you. Amen.